Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. On today's episode, I want to talk about Trust Your Game Master. But first, we have five call-ins for this episode, including one from a new listener. First up is Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor with his two cents about Anchor.
Hey Larry, Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor, kind of doing some catch-ups on some podcasts here. I can't agree more with you that Anchor is aggravating. I mean, it's wonderful and aggravating at the same time. It's just the way they have the differences. And I know they're updating stuff on their app site. Their website, like you said, it's easier to upload, but you know, you can't interact with anything, and it's frustrating because you want to use it for its potential, but it seems like the developers haven't figured out how to quite do that. I know we keep getting updates, and every time I think I figure it out, then they change the layout of it. And it's like, now I can't find, it took me a long time to find out where even the voicemails were anymore and the way they stacked them. And I started adding my own voicemails to my own stuff. So good luck fighting that fight, man.
Hey, Tim, thanks for calling in. Again, that was Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor. Listen to his podcast, check out his blog. Tim, I agree wholeheartedly with all the comments about Anchor. I think it's interesting that shortly after my episode where I talked about that, the Anchor app on Android updated. I assume it updated on iOS on the iPhone. The website doesn't look like it's any different. I'm doing a little something for this episode. I'm recording straight to the Anchor website from my computer. And so far it sounds pretty good. I have a lot less editing to do, so maybe I can turn around an episode faster, especially with five call-in segments. I didn't want to have to edit a big old file and split it up, so I'm going to try this and see how it sounds. I hope you all like it. Next up, Colin Green, a.k.a. Spike Pit. He got a kick out of rolling a D20 to get a discount on a book or a series of books that I bought at Tabletop Game and Hobby when they had their 20th anniversary.
Hello, Larry. It's Colin at Spike Pit. Listened to your last episode, and I thought it was really funny when you was talking about that game store that you went into and the guy rolled the D20 to sort out what discount he was going to give you. Man, I'm still laughing about that when I think of it. And it kind of captured my imagination. Firstly, I'd like to use it in real life, but I can't think where I would. And as you know, if we can't do it in real life, what do? Well, you stick it in your RPG. So, I'm going to have to figure out a way to get that into my D&D game, because I think it's brilliant. So funny. And so RPG.
Hey, Colin, glad I could give you a chuckle with that story. Yeah, that was a story about a guy that was a couple years behind me from high school, had a dream to start a game store, and he did. Tabletop Game and Hobby in Overland Park, Kansas, in the same general area as the old King's Crown used to be. And for the 20th anniversary of his store, I went in to buy something, and he had everybody rolling a D20 for how much percent off they got. I rolled a 2 and he let me re-roll. I think I ended up with 8% off or something like that. So why not gamify your celebration of your game store with a game? Next up is Robert Groves of the DM Dad podcast with his thoughts about Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. I think he makes some good points.
Hi, Larry. This is Robert from DM Dad podcast. I just listened to your episode on Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and the inconsistency in some of the dice mechanics. My impression of that has always been, like, it seems to me that every time Gary Gygax either discovered a new die, or like a new type of dice, or a new way to use dice, or developed a new dice mechanic, he didn't actually go back and revise similar mechanisms so that they would be consistent with each other, that, you know, he developed a new mechanic, but he left the old ones as is. And then you end up getting a lot of different ways to resolve similar actions. That was always the impression that I had, that he maybe ought to have gone back and did some revision, but he never did. Anyways, that was my take on it.
And that was Robert Groves of the DM Dad podcast. Thanks for calling in, Robert. I think you're right on the point there. Gygax seemed to really like fiddling around and making new things. He was obviously a gamer in the traditional sense of the word, in that he loved making games and making systems to make things work. And it sprung up from his history as a war gamer. So that, I think you're right on. It really needed some revision, and he just never took the time to revise it. Next up, another call in from Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor on the topic of Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and he calls it Wonderful Confusion, which I think is apropos.
Hey, Larry. Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor here. I would have to agree with you on this one. In some part, the way you presented it, definitely, but I'd also say, like, you know, the personality types, of course, lend themselves to rules learning, and you know, there's a lot of people who don't, but they definitely can reinforce that type of personality. And I think with the flaws that you bring up with the inconsistency of rules, the confusion of the layout, I think that's what, you know, if I dare to use the word charming about the books, because I'm pretty sure, like you, like I grew up on like basic and advanced Dungeons and Dragons, and I still can go in that first edition Dungeons Master Guide and find stuff I never read before or completely forgot about it. So, all right, Larry, take care.
Hey, Tim, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I have to agree with you there on turning to the Dungeon Master's Guide and finding things that you forgot were in there or weren't in the part of the guide you remembered because maybe you figured out long ago that certain rules went together, but they're not next to each other in the book like your memory has it, because your mind edited it together, I guess. And then it's just amazing how much is in there. That's a really great resource. I just wish it was better organized. I guess that's why we've got Osric. Next up, we have Colin Green calling in to thank me for calling into his episode of his podcast from today. He asked a very interesting question. Why do you play RPGs? For my stumbling attempts at an answer, you can listen to, I'm sure, his next episode.
Yay, Larry, you're the first in with a call in, mate. Thanks for your thoughts. It's really good to actually get messages and talk to real people. I prefer it to the G+, and well, I only do G+. I don't do the Facebooks, and I'm not a big emailing guy. So yeah, this is really immediate, and look forward to hearing from you soon, mate. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Colin, I'm glad you like my comment. That's a very good question you got there. Why do we play RPGs? I'm really going to have to think about that. That's probably worthy of at least a blog article. And if I can get my thoughts wrapped around it, probably make a podcast out of it. I'd invite you all to listen to Colin's episode where he asked that question and call in. Or if you wish, you can call in and comment on here. And now, a bit of news. As many of you probably already know, Friday, July 27th, will be Gary Gygax's 80th birthday. And on Saturday, in partnership with Wizards of the Coast and others, Luke Gygax is hosting a Founders and Legends fundraiser. There'll be 10 hours of D&D streamed on Twitch, hosted by Satine Phoenix. and Luke will be playing in all the games, and they're raising money for Extra Life, which is a children's hospital charity. They raise money for children's hospitals across the country. So if you're interested in helping out with that, please do. And if you have a chance, you can watch it. I'm sure it'll be restreamed later. Another interesting note is that because of Gygax's birthday, this is the second of the three annual Read an RPG Book in Public Weeks. The first one is in March, which is on Game Master's Day, which coincidentally is the same day that Gary Gygax died in 2008. And the third is in October for Dave Arneson's birthday, the creator of role-playing. Well, coincidentally this week, Jeff Perrin, the co-author of Chainmail, turned 71 yesterday. And thinking about Jeff Perrin, at Gary Con 8 a couple of years ago, I walked up and asked him a question about Chainmail, and I had to get out my cell phone and record it, because he said nobody'd ever asked him that question before. So if you head over to my YouTube channel, Follow Me and Die, you can see what he had to say about that. Next up, my topic. Trust your game master. On my last episode, I talked about how I thought Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, the way it was presented and laid out, invited rules lawyering. And thinking about the topic of rules lawyering got me to thinking about running a game and how players interact with the game master. Ideally, a game master should do their side of the equation and instill trust in the players so that they'll go along with the scenario and the situation the game master presents and trust that the game master will rule fairly so that everybody has a good time. And so because we expect the game master to do that, we should trust the game master. And in addition to trusting the game master, we can enhance the experience both helping the game master out by our participation. It'll also enhance the experience of everyone around the table. And it's such simple things as be prepared. Remember your character sheet, your books, your dice, your something to write with. If it's your turn to bring snacks, etc. Update your character sheet and your inventory and your notes before the game starts so we're not waiting for the game to start. Be on time. If you've got an agreed time to start, be ready to start. Of course, we all have situations that come out of nowhere and delay things, but we all know how to handle that. Call and let them know. Be helpful. If there's a new player, whether they're an experienced role player but new to the rules, sorry about that. Somebody had to ask me something here. So rather than re-record that entire segment that was spot on, I'm going to try to pick up where I left off. So my point was, if it's an experienced player new to the rules, try to help them out. If it's a brand new player who's never played a role-playing game before, give them a positive experience. Everyone at the table, game master and other players, should give a brand new role player the best experience possible, because the first impression they have of your group is going to equate to their first impression of all gamers. Essentially, we should see ourselves as an ambassador both for our table, an in-person table or a virtual table, and as a community as a whole, we should be wonderful ambassadors, positive ambassadors, encouraging, wanting to get together, having fun, have a welcoming table. A good example of that, in my opinion, is Satine Phoenix. I call her the Lord High Queen Ambassador of D&D because she'll play with anybody that's there to have a good time and play the game. Her excitement is contagious. We should be that way when we encounter a new player. And we should help that new player understand that we need to trust the game master. In today's world, I guess a new metric is out there, and that's quote unquote how they do it on Critical Role or other live streams. And I guess that will be a challenge some of us may face. I have yet to face that, but because I know others have seem to have faced it and mentioned it online, I can think ahead and try to plan that out. Much like as a game master, I would think ahead and plan out what are the consequences for the last actions of my players. I've got a companion article I've written on the blog, and that'll be going up tomorrow, but I'll have the podcast out tonight. I'd like your thoughts about this. Of course, we all know there's the game masters that aren't that good, or we don't feel enthused or trusting of how they do things. Well, that may not be the game for you. And we all know there's players out there that throw a wrench in the works for everybody. So it's a cooperative effort. We should all work together to tell this story of adventure. The Game Master gives us a campaign world and sets a situation, and we should embrace it wholeheartedly, explore it, and help it come alive through our interactions with it. That's all for now. Have a great day and game on.